When you hear the word ginseng, you might think about a wild plant that grows in the hills of Appalachia, and you would be right. That's the good stuff. But there's also a plant that's a little less wild, forest-grown ginseng. Basically, we're talking about ginseng farming in the forest, which can yield roots as valuable as the wild stuff. So is this a viable business for West Virginians? Well, there are some rules and regulations that might be hindering growth, so to speak, but experts say there are ways to promote the industry. Here in West Virginia and in many areas of Appalachia, the same rules that exist to protect wild ginseng plants are often applied to forest-grown plants. Ginseng researcher and Eberly Professor of Biology at West Virginia University, Jim McGraw, says that's problematic. He explains a lot of these regulations were conceived of with the best intentions to try to ensure that wild plants would have the opportunity to mature and reproduce. But McGraw says even for wild populations, a lot of current regulations are missing the mark. Take, for example, the Maine ginseng rule, that plants must be at least 5 years old to harvest.
We know from our long-term monitoring of wild populations that over 90% of the plants at age 5 years have never produced a single seed. And so that five-year age limit does nothing to assure us that that plant has replaced itself.
So that means 5 years may not be long enough to help preserve wild populations. But for farmed ginseng, experts say an age limit may not be necessary at all. That's why farmers pushed back a decade ago when federal regulators tried to say the plant needed to be at least 10 years old instead of 5 to legally harvest and export. Robin Black at the Division of Forestry remembers how forest growers threw down. 10 years was too long to wait for a return on their investment, farmers said. And what if, in that time, ginseng was deemed illegal to export altogether, which is exactly what happened in Canada.
We started the Ginseng Growers Program in 2006 out of the request for a group called the West Virginia Ginseng Growers Association. The ginseng growers came to us wanting to be able to grow ginseng on their own property so that if and when, if it ever happens, that the ginseng season would ever be closed in the state of West Virginia, those people that are legally growing it and registered with the state would be able to export that ginseng out of the country and out of state.
To date, there are about 70 registered growers. In West Virginia, but it's a struggling industry because of market insecurities, regulations, poaching, and enforcement woes. But Jim McGraw says research today is shedding new light on ways to effectively build up the ginseng industry, especially regarding this forest-grown farming method. McGraw believes reworking regulations while thinking about forest-grown crops could allow residents to take advantage of this valuable commodity and conserve wild populations. And there are other steps we could take. McGraw says West Virginia could benefit enormously, for example, with a native ginseng seed bank.
Right now, forest plot growers are mainly having to buy seed from Wisconsin and other kind of cultivated sources. But we'd really rather have them using local sources of seeds. And this is something that could be stimulated. For example, we have a stocking program for fish, right? Why not a stocking program through our beautiful College of Agriculture to produce seeds for local growers from local wild populations?
Current regulations prohibit collecting wild seed, but McGraw thinks a better way to protect what exists might be to invest in it. McGraw says creating a new permit program would be a simple way to make that possible.
And so by whatever mechanism, whether it's private enterprise or a government thing, we need local seed sources, and that's just not available right now. But I actually think that's an opportunity for sort of branding this whole thing too. And we could imagine a West Virginia ginseng that gets branded just like Vermont maple syrup gets branded and sold to Asia in a way that really economically benefits our residents of our state.
A seed bank and a permit program are just a couple of McGraw's suggestions. But other ideas to bolster the industry also exist. A group out of Pennsylvania, for example, just launched a certification program that would create standards for the plant from seed to harvest. But while good ideas and some movement is encouraging for industry stakeholders, the stakes remain high. McGraw and many other experts agree that in West Virginia, with habitat loss, deer browsing, and increases in illegal harvesting techniques, the commodity could just as easily be altogether lost if we do nothing to change current trends. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.